Blog Talk Radio.
There's a place dear to me where I'm longing to be with my friends at the old country church. There with mother we went and our Sundays were spent with my friends at the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy
they bring to me.
How I long once more to be with my friends at the old country church. As a small country boy, how my heart beat with joy when I knelt in the old country church. And the Savior above, by His wonderful love, saved my soul in the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy they bring to me.
How I long once more to be
with my friends at the old country church. My thoughts make me weep, for so many now sleep in their graves near the old country church. And sometime I may rest with the friends I love best in a grave near the old country church.
Precious years of memory. Oh, what joy they bring to me.
With my friends at the old country church.
Well, good morning, everyone. And greetings in Jesus' name. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again, as we open your word this morning, we're asking the Holy Spirit to come forward, to take this Bible study, Father, and to bring us the knowledge and the truth of this, your word, and to speak to each and every one of us to help us to grow, Father, in that knowledge and understanding by opening our hearts and minds to be receptive. Now, Father, we ask for his presence throughout this service. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, we're going to be going back to Ephesians. We'll be dealing with chapter 3. Chapter 3, verse 1. For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles. 2. If you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you. But you know, he's talking here about the dispensation of grace that's been given to him. Actually, the meaning of that, which is actually consisting of God's grace that gave Paul the divine ability that enabled him to successfully execute his apostolic ministry to the Gentiles. And you know, that's what we all need. We all need this dispensation of grace of God, that divine ability to be able to do the work that God has for each one of us to do. Now, there may be several that we know that may have the same calling that we have. They'll just be usually in different directions. But then again, we may not know anyone that has the same calling that we have. Because you see, the Spirit gives to everyone, as the Scripture tells us, several as He will. It's according to His will, because He knows exactly what you will work with and what you won't. And He's not going to give us anything that we will not use, or that we will use wrongly. All right, now, verse 3 says, how that by revelation He made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote before in few words. Paul's telling here in verse 3 that he had wrote about some of these same things before in few words. And you'll find that if you look in chapter 1, verse 9 and 10, and in chapter 2, verse 11 through 22, you'll find where Paul touched on the mystery which God had made known to him. But he done it in the most general of terms. And now here again, he's bringing it back up a little bit. Now, he says, whereby, when ye read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. 5, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. My footnote to that, to verse 5 there, tells us, says, that the divine blessing of salvation would be extended to the Gentiles was made known from Genesis 12, chapter 12, verse 3 and onward. The Gentiles could be saved, therefore, was no secret, but was a mystery not made known in Old Testament times, was the incorporation of the Jewish and the Gentile believers, like as fellow members of the body of Christ. This secret is now revealed unto his holy apostle and Christian prophets. And of course we know about it because it is written out about Paul's conversion and all how he was gave the ability and all and sent by the Lord Jesus Christ himself to be our apostle, to give us more of what we needed to become part of the family of Almighty God. Here, verse 6, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body, and partakers of this promise in Christ by the gospel. You see, we are now heirs with them and with the Lord Jesus Christ even when we become born again, children of God. And we are of the same family. There's no difference now between us and them in the family of Almighty God. once we have fulfilled that kind of salvation and been born again, to become that child. Now, because you see, not only we have to do it, but so do they. They've got to come out from that Mosaic law and go through the Lord Jesus Christ. They've got to repent, be baptized, be filled with the Holy Spirit, just like you and I. There is no difference. Not anymore. This was the mystery that Paul had been speaking about. Now, 7, whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. Well, we know that because in knowing the story of Paul about his meeting of the Lord Jesus Christ on the road to Damascus, his stay in Damascus several days, and how he received his sight and was called to be an apostle and a minister of the gospel and all, we can understand and we know that God, through the Holy Spirit, had gave him the power to do his work. And he will you and I, if we will give ourselves unto the Lord God. Let me tell you something, especially all you ministers out there. If you really want the grace of God working in you, then you are going to have to be and give yourselves unto him totally and completely. Think about that. And then he'll work with you and through you to accomplish what he wants to do. But he's not coming in to a temple that's half full of this world out here. He wants it all. He wants the heart clean and empty until he comes in. And then he will. And you'll have within your heart the deity of the Godhead living in you. Think about that. Most don't. You think that you won't be able to do anything. You know, I don't know anything about that. I don't know how to do that. You don't have to. He does. If he called you to do it, he knows how. He's already got it planned and laid out for you. All you have to do is start moving as he told you. And he will guide you and give you everything you need. Oh, now, Pastor, you don't know that. Yes, I do. Because, you see, I know. Because that's the way I live. I could not do what I'm doing right now without him on my own. And when I was on my own, you wouldn't have wanted to have known me when I truly met him, my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It changed me. Now, there was an immediate change, but also there were years of growing that I had to do because I had been taught in my lifetime so many ways that was contrary to the Word of God. I didn't go to seminary. My knowledge and my teaching came from the Holy Spirit of Almighty God. So yes, I do know. Now, 8, he says, unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. Paul's being very plain, and he's letting them know what his calling really is. 9, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world has been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus. You know, that verse could be read actually and to reveal what is the plan or the arrangements of the mystery where it had been hidden for ages by God who created all things. The two reasons for which God gave Paul this grace and the ability to preach the gospel to the Gentiles and to disclose God's plan for impediment in the Jew and Gentile mystery in human history. Hold on to that verse, isn't it? Now, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. You know, Paul's teaching there about the mystery, you know, brings about God's wisdom. 11. According to the eternal purpose which he proposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. 12. In whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. You know, we that are Christians, as we have that boldness, which will lead you and I to speak freely about the things of Almighty God and of His Word, and then we will speak all in truth. And our faith is in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, what he has done for us, and what it has brought to us. You see, when we repent and he forgives our sins, that gave you and I also access through him to the Father. And also, that is what brought the Holy Spirit to you and I. Now, that all comes from God the Father, but it comes to us through the Lord Jesus Christ. 13. Wherefore, I desire that you faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. You see, Paul's letting them know we'll use Paul's tribulations and his sufferings in the ministry in order to spiritually benefit those that hear him and know him, because they see all of this going on, and they see that regardless of what Satan will bring against Paul for doing so, does not keep Paul from doing what God wants him to do. And it will then bring glory, praise, and honor unto God himself. And that's what we are to be about. That's what our lives are to be about here on this earth even, is to bring all the praise, all the honor, and all the glory that we can unto the Lord our God. Think about that. But how many of us really do it? We talk to very few around us. We miss a lot of chances to spread the word of Almighty God. And that should not be. Coming through the years, even as a minister of the gospel, there were times that I know I could have shared with somebody that I didn't, because we were both in a little bit of a hurry. But see, that don't work that way now. You meet me and speak to me, you're going to hear something about the gospel. Unless you run away from me. And I mean run. Now, 14. For this cause, I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, we all wonder about praying. So we're told to kneel and pray. It's all through God's Word, the Old Testament and the New. Now, what do? Most of us, we don't kneel, do we? Enough. Most don't kneel at all. They stand, they sit, or they'll lay at night when they lay down. But they don't humble themselves. And bow and bend the knees unto the Father. 15. of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. You see, the whole family in heaven and earth is named. 16. That he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. Strengthened with that might by the inner Spirit. So what he's talking about there is that they be divinely enabled to successfully live the Christian life. And that the readers be able to comprehend the love of Christ. And that is for us to better understand the enormous love that Christ has for them. Do you ever really stop and think about it? It's easy to say, isn't it? Oh, well, you know, Christ loved us and he died for us. And most usually it's forgot about. But to know in your heart the pain, the agony that he went through physically for you and I, taking all of our sins upon himself, he that had no sin, all of our sickness and disease, all went to the cross with him. But you know, besides those pains, the heartache of knowing that even his own had turned against him and had cried to put him there on that cross and rejected him to that extent. And then we hear part of that pain when he was on that cross and he cried out, to the Father, why hast thou forsaken me? And you see, God hadn't forsaken him, but he had to look away from him, because God cannot look upon all that sin. But he hadn't left him. He hadn't forsaken him. Just as Jesus predicted, he raised him from the dead. And after his work was finished here on this earth, he brought him back home to sit on his right hand. Where do you want to spend eternity? Where do you want to be? Now, 17, that Christ may dwell in your heart by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, 18, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height. You know, Christ may dwell in your heart by faith. If you are rooted and grounded in the love of God, and with that love in your heart, and that we are really able to comprehend just how deep and fullness it will make of us as that child of God. And the help it gives for us to do the work that God has called upon us to complete. Now, he says here in 19, and to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge. And there is a lot we still don't know. Of his love. But those that will bring him into their lives will get a far more understanding. And then when we step out of this life into the next, his word tells us, then we will know as we are known. And we'll know about this love that he has for all of us and how he carried it while on earth and then took it back to heaven with him to be our intercessor. You see, he is still our intercessor. Now, 20. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. You see, he can work through us, have us doing things that really we can't even comprehend in being able to do it. But it is because of his power. That we are able to get that work done. But we can't be backing up from it. We can't be doubting it. When he tells us to do something, just start. You may not know how or anything. And you may not even know the direction to start in. But move. And especially with the heart. Heart, he's asked this, so we've got to, we're going to go do it. And he'll guide you. All along the way, giving you everything you need in order to get the work done. His way. Now the last verse of chapter 3. Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. That glory, where's that glory going to? unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. That glory belongs to him. Is your church teaching the truth of God's word, or is it teaching things that are contrary to the word of Almighty God and teaching in parts to make it say what you want it to say instead of what God is saying and talking about? And we will close with that and close God's word, and we will go to the Father in prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, as we close your word, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the Lord Jesus and the Holy Spirit. Father, we thank you for times that we can come together to share your word with others, Father. And we can reach out to the community, the state, the nations, and everywhere the internet goes. Now, Father, use us in mighty and great ways, and let a lot of them tune in to hear this gospel, Father, that has been given to us in the holy book we call the Bible. Father, we pray for this land of ours, land that has brought so much evil upon its people. Help us, Father, to come together, all of your children, to come together to bring this land to repentance so it can be healed and become once again the land of the Lord Jesus Christ, and to put him back in every place he's been taken out of, and our government back upon the foundation in which it was founded, that being your word in the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, as we separate, keep us all safe. Keep us in health, Father, throughout this day. Bring us back together this evening at 6 p.m. Eastern Time. Father, help us to be what you want us to be, Father. We need thy power. We need the Holy Spirit to be the one you want us to be. And Father, we're asking all of this in that precious name of Jesus. Amen. All right, all. Have a great day. Go with God. He'll go with you. Bye-bye now.